Send greetings to you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Thankful for the opportunity to meet together again like this. Praise the Lord. Some of you boys memorizing your memory verse. What's a foolish man do? Somebody else. What's a wise man do? What does a wise man do? What? Okay, there you go. See, we take that lesson and we miss half of it, don't we? Sometimes we get to thinking about the wise man builds his house on the rock, and the foolish man builds his house on the sand. That wasn't what Jesus was teaching. Jesus was teaching the wise man, here's what I'm saying, and does it. And the foolish man, here's what I'm saying, and doesn't do it. That's what sin is. Sin is hearing and knowing what God wants for my life, and me not doing it. Whenever we think of sin, most of the time, we think of sin as something that we do bad. That's a lot of times what we think when we've broken God's law or we've done something wrong. But Jesus said that whenever we don't hear what he's saying, we're like a foolish man and we build our house on the rock, on the sand, and our house will be destroyed. A lot of people are putting their faith today in not doing some bad things. There's a lot of people that say that they're holy because they don't do a lot of bad things. But not doing bad things, that's not what makes us holy. It's hearing God and putting what he says to do and to practice in our life that makes us holy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you, God, again for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your grace that you've extended to us, that you would come into this world and that you would speak to our minds, Lord, and our souls, Father. That your grace would teach us where we're separated from you, that we might hear. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father. We're blind without you, and we're deaf without you. But Lord, thank you for the mercy and the grace that you've given, that you would still speak to us, Lord. Help us hear that and apply it. And give us wisdom in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. A wise man builds his house obeying and hearing and obeying the teachings of Christ. The Word of God can be read and looked at many different ways, and oftentimes we miss what he's trying to say because of what we've heard all of our life. Sometimes I wish that we could just open the window and throw out everything that we know about the Bible and everything that we know about religion and just start over again. I mean, just throw it all out, forget it all, and then just pick up a Bible and listen and begin reading the gospel of Christ and begin to listen what Christ has to say to us. I was complaining a little bit to myself last night. We spent several hours on the street last night just talking with people. And it's so hard to get past what people have been taught all their lives. And I thought of that on the way home, and I thought, you know, we're talking to the people on the streets that maybe have never heard what we're trying to teach them. And it's a blessing to us. Most of the time I spend on the street, if no one ever in this world listens to one word I say when I'm talking to them on the street, it's for me. It's for me. But we try to explain these things and try to explain the error of false teaching and try to talk with people. And as I was coming home, I'd spent an hour and a half with one group there of young ladies, and they were listening, and it was a blessing. They weren't accepting everything, but at least they were listening. And after an hour and a half, this man came up and he just jumped right in and just started preaching this garbage gospel that they talk about, this modern day mess, and how easily they just fell right back into what he was saying because it was common. It was just been so repeated, and everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. And then on the way home, as I was thinking about that, I thought, a few months ago, talked to a man, and an editor of a magazine, or assistant editor, and tried to explain just the simple concept of obeying Jesus and how that preempts all of the theology. And he listened. And then he wrote an article with the same topic of our talk. and he missed it. And I just don't understand why that, other than just being so programmed, that why it's so difficult to understand these things. But we do live in a clouded world. There's one thing that is especially cloudy, and I want to try to bring that out this morning. The power of sin. The power of sin. Do you know, if you talk to most people, they would never admit it. But is there something that God can't do? If you ask someone, is there anything that God cannot do? We would say no. He's all powerful. And then you ask them, can you live above sin? And they would say, no. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The he that he's talking about, that's in us when we're following God and obeying him, we've left sin, put on and started obeying and hearing the teachings of God, is the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that is in the world is Satan. There's two kingdoms. God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom. And they're both in this world. And we are in one or two of those kingdoms. One or the other of those kingdoms. If we're in the kingdom of Satan, we are still under the bondage of sin. If we are in God's kingdom, we are set free from the bondage of sin and are servants to righteousness. Just like we were the servant of sin, we've now become the servant of righteousness. The power is equal on either side of the board. Righteousness is will overpower sin if you actually weighed them out. God is righteous, the devil is sinful. Which one has more power in your life? People will say that they're Christians and still say, I can't stop sinning. You're saying that the devil is more powerful than God. It's that simple. It's that simple. The devil is more powerful than God. Nobody's going to hold up their hand and say that. But as long as they continue in sin, that's what they're saying. They're just liars. They're blasphemers. Oh, God's powerful. He can do all things. He's just going to overlook my sin. But he can't overcome it. If God cannot deliver you from sin now, he won't be able to do it in eternity. There's a lot of people that teach that we can be delivered from, we have an experience, and we're all set free from sin, and we quit doing sin, but still not build their house on the teachings of Jesus. This modern day gospel that has people saved and can still be living in a known sin is a joke. People that can be not only saved, but so-called sanctified, where they don't even want to do anything bad anymore, but still living in sin because they're not obeying the teachings of Jesus and they're not following the teaching of Jesus is a joke. We become the servants of righteousness, just like we were the servant of sin. You got to have it all together. Romans chapter 6, let's just read some of this. The power thereof. Yes. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, what are we going to say? Am I still bound by sin and grace is just going to cover it? God forbid. God forbid. God, stop this nonsense. How much clearer is that? Well, what about Romans 7? Paul, he was this and that and this and that and excusing making my sin. He couldn't stop sinning. That's not what he says in Romans 6. If you want to make excuse that the devil's more powerful than God, go for it. I'm a believer. I believe God's more powerful than the devil. I believe God's more powerful than sin. Almighty sin may rule in your religion, but it isn't going to rule in mine. If my God doesn't have enough power over sin, forget religion. I'll go be an atheist. If God's just got to pretend that my sin's gone, I don't want no part of it. Christ is worthy and can be followed in righteousness abound in righteousness, just as strong as sin can hold a man. I'm going to jump ahead here because that fits right here where it says, verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, and to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Which is it? The sin, just this all-powerful thing that just controls us, and we can't do anything about it. We're just all stuck in it. It's God's hands tied. Absolutely not. The way I read this is, just like there's light and there's dark, on both sides of the fence, we can be just as bound to righteousness as the drug fiend is bound to his drugs. We can be just as bound to a pure life as a harlot is to her sin, her lust, or a man is to his lust. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater. And yet, we've all been taught, we've all had this concept that sin is just something we're just going to have to live with all the rest of our life. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus came into this world, to overcome sin. Know ye not to whom you yield yourself? Whoever you yield yourself to is your master. Whether sin or righteousness. But we've been deceived into thinking that because we've yielded to sin, that sin is all powerful and there's no deliverance. Oh, we might quit doing some bad things. But we do what we do because we're just sinners. That's a lie. And how deep we've believed that lie. And how much that lie lingers in the back of our heads when we live our daily lives. That lie is what causes us to question right before we do something we know is wrong. Because we still believe in that lie down there in our that we've been taught. But we could be just as righteous as we are bound, were bound. God forbid, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The dead man is dead. The new man is alive. Black and white, light and dark, sin and righteousness, they don't go together. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. Cross is not a pretty thing. It's there for one purpose. It's there to kill the man that's on it. To kill him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Almighty sin is put to death, so that righteousness can live, so that we can put on the righteousness. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died into sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon yourselves to be dead indeed also unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you realize what the gospel's about? These people have a gospel, and they don't even know what it's about. Not only have they pretended that they're in it, they don't even have a clue about what it's about. Christianity, modern Christianity, is as pagan as any other religion there is. They've all got good values. Any religion has good values. Christ came to do away with sin and teach us to become a slave to righteousness, just like we were a slave to sin. That is the gospel. And to go tell somebody that they're saved because they believe the blood was shed is a nice little fairy tale that keeps sin as the key of your life. I think it was a couple of nights ago we were somewhere, had a sign about the adultery or something, and somebody walked by and said, "Grace covers my sin." Grace does not cover sin. Grace does not cover sin. Sin is defeated. It's not just covered. You either repent of it or you die in it. Grace doesn't cover it. It's forgiven if we repent. Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you." For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. That's a direct slap in the face to this nonsense that's being taught. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Bible says in Jude prophesied. I think he was looking at 2012 whenever he said this. Jude 4, "There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, lawlessness, loose living, it'll be okay. God's grace will cover it. That's a man creeping in unaware. He's crept in unaware. He snuck in the back door. He found an open window somewhere in the church, and he slipped in. This one that slipped in was before of old ordained of God to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning God's grace into lasciviousness, into loose living. Is that prophecy or what? What's going on today? Just exactly that. Shall we continue in sin? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? God forbid. Christ came so that we could live above the law. If we do what's right, we don't need a law to tell us what to do. When we hear what Jesus taught and how to live, we don't need no laws to guide our lives. We've got a master to serve. Righteousness to be a slave to instead of sin. You can be a slave to sin if you want to. I think I'll be a slave to righteousness. If you think sin has more power over you, go ahead. Serve it. Deceive yourself. Pretend that you're right. The gospel said that Jesus came to deliver us from our sin. That's all it's about. That brings glory to Christ. Still amazed at how people say that them not being able to live right brings glory to Christ. I'm still amazed at how them saying that Christ can't deliver them from their sin brings any glory at all to Christ. Thank you, General. You couldn't save me from the army that had me in bondage. Thanks. A lot of glory to you. I'm still on their team. And I'm going to fight against you. And I'm going to sin against you every chance I get. But I want to give you the glory for having the victory. How foolish. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. one or the other, and that neither one has, let's just say they're equal. In this world, we have a choice, black or white. Let's just say the power of righteousness was equal to that of the power of sin. We can still have that power of righteousness over us, just as strong as the power of sin was over us. But it's not. The power of righteousness conquered the power of sin. It didn't just bring it up to an equal level so we can all balance this out. Christ conquered the power of sin. Let righteousness conquer you. Be a wise man. Maybe you're not doing anything bad. That's not holiness. Put on righteousness. Don't believe the lie. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Oh, that's past tense. This is present tense. This is back then. This is when it was. You were either under the power of sin or you still are. I believe Paul was under the power of sin. But you have obeyed, not just in outward form, not just to slide by, not just to get by with whatever mom and dad wants, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What if that was the only part of the Bible you'd ever read? What would you have got out of what I just finished reading? Can you come up with anywhere that was that difficult to understand? Is there an overemphasis of one thing? If I see an overemphasis in the world, it's on the power of sin. And there's a shallow emphasis on the power of righteousness. But after what we read just now, who are you going to put your faith in? The power of sin or the power of righteousness? Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know why people say, does that mean you don't ever sin? You're a sinner just like everybody else. You know what they're saying? Is they don't have a clue of who God is and what sin is and how Jesus Christ came and defeated sin so that we might be made righteous, so that we might become righteousness. So that righteousness could reign in us just like sin used to. Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. Shall we continue in disobedience? God forbid. Shall we continue in not doing righteousness? God forbid. Become the servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When you were the servant of sin, you were not the servant of righteousness. You were free from righteousness. Righteousness didn't have anything to do with you. You might have had a self-righteousness, but you weren't righteous. If you're living in sin, you're not righteous. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Whose servant are you? stand still, Almighty God, in your life? Is sin still more powerful than God in your life? Or is righteousness? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Take that whole thing and put it together there. Jesus Christ, if you've allowed Christ, if you've made Christ, if you've obeyed Christ, you're not yielding yourself to sin anymore. You're yielding yourself to righteousness now. It's not that you just quit a bunch of bad things and put on a bunch of religious things. You've yielded yourself to doing right. Just as much as you yielded yourself to doing wrong. An exalted power of sin results in a need of an overemphasis on God's love. An exalted power of sin results in a need of an overemphasis of God's love. Whenever they talk about God's love in an overemphasis, the way it's done today, what they're saying is sin has more power than anything else in this world. And God can't overcome it. He can just love it out of existence. Is there hope? It's not defeated. It's just loved on a lot. The fact is, it's what's love. God has power over sin. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May the Lord add his blessings to his words. Father, we just want to thank you again for your goodness to us. Help us be faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else have anything they'd like to add to that?
Right. Because being
all they got. That's why their message is, that's why they can't see. They're blinded by their sin. All right. Anyone else? Okay. That's the idea. There's a lot of people have that just because they don't do wrong, they've stopped sinning. I'm just saying that that's not just the problem. You've got to obey also to stop sinning.
Okay, so you're saying that
they've got a sin that's doing something bad. Doing something bad. Living a worldly life. But just quitting those things is not enough. But most people do. Yes.
Right. When you said you can stop sinning, you were using the definition that most people are
of the worldly's definition of not doing bad.
Not the definition you were
For instance, this one of these people we had here this week. Okay, but the definition of that would be someone who has been saved from drugs, alcohol, rock and roll, whatever, but then they're living in an adulterous relationship. Well, they're saved, but they haven't heard the teachings of Jesus. They would think themselves saved because they're not doing drugs anymore. But saved is when you hear his teachings and are doing them. Not just delivered from, but into righteousness. Doing what's right. I mean, the one man the other day was teaching us about being fully sanctified where he could not sin anymore and yet would tolerate an adulterous relationship. He doesn't know what holiness is. Holiness is being a wise man and hearing the teachings of Jesus and doing them. Does that help you understand that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, Brian cleared
that up. Okay.
Because I thought you were using your definition.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, very good.
It's kind of like the idea that Jesus talks about coveting, using money, and so obey Jesus, we're never going to eat out, never, but we'll save a huge savings account and not give it away to the poor, but we're never eating out, and so we're righteous. Well, that was not what Jesus' point was at all.
Right.
He might say, well, if you're traveling, just eat out and don't waste the time to, you know, don't neglect the kingdom of God because you won't eat out. But sell what you have and give it to the poor. Where the idea is, well, look, I'm all pure. I've stopped eating out.
Right.
Stop smoking. You know, but they're still not even focusing on
right.
The right way.
Yes. Amen.
And that's like work. That's like, well, I stopped drinking beer. Yes, I meant by God, I stopped drinking beer, right? And everyone says that they're drinking beer, you know, I'm good. But you never care for orphans or widows.
Right. Amen.
That's a bad idea.
like Dagon. All right, well, we'll meet here at 6:30.